Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes. Y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord, I really...
Conjunction with Past Generation Lost in the Mix of Sector by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders, member of the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founding pastor is District Superintendent Pastor Robert I. Sanders II. Yeah, I'm a little hoarse. We had a very busy weekend, but top of the week up to you. This is April the 17th. I tell you, oh my God, the kids are out of school. They're back to school from being on spring break. I tell you. But look, we had a beautiful time on this past Saturday. I'd like to give a prayer solicitation out to the Tyson family. Pastor Robert R. Tyson Sr., along with his siblings, Pastor Matthew Tyson, his sisters. They lost their mom. Mother Maisie Tyson used to be my church mother when I came back to the Church of God in Christ in 1990. I was at Whitworth for 9 years. So we want to continue to give prayers and prayers out to the Tyson family here in Chicago. She was in her 90s when she passed, so she lived her life. She lived her life. That's a blessing to have your mother that long. So we thank God for his grace and mercy in her life, doing her time here on earth as she transitioned on this past Saturday. Continue to uphold the Tyson family in prayer. Matter of fact, Jason Tyson, the renowned musician, he plays for Smokey Norfolk. He is the musical director of Smokey Norfolk's ministry out of Romeoville, and he's also played for CeCe Winans, Marvin Sapp, Donnie McClurkin, and he's also teaching my little boy, my little man, my little mini bud, Daniel, the keyboard, so you know what we got. All right, all right. Hello, hello, hello. Now, I am bringing the book back out of print into reprint. Many of you all know 17 years ago I produced a book entitled Basic Church Etiquette, and a lot of people bought that book until I just took it out of print. But this time, I am going to bring it back. A lot of churches are not understanding church etiquette. I've watched down through the years how we do in the church. And, you know, we don't have things in order. One thing that I am about, I am a nut for order, because in God's house, we don't treat God's house like we treat the nightclub. We don't treat God's house like we're treating our own personal house. But when we come into the presence of the Lord, there should be amount of respect that is given in a lot of areas. I'm bringing my book back out of print. I have a copy of it here, and I'm just going to read some things that we need to understand when it comes to basic church etiquette. Visuals or persons lately elected to political offices. There is not a single thing that we do or even think that does not follow or break one of the exactions of taste, tact, ethics, and good manners, or etiquette, call it what you will. A knowledge of etiquette is, of course, essential to one's decent behavior on the subject of one of the thousands of detailed rules essential to all ceremonial procedures, the importance of knowing the important, the unending details, such as when to sit, when to stand, what to say, what to do upon this or that occasion, should be most practically illustrated in a church service. However, church etiquette must go far beyond the mere mechanical rules of procedures. The Christian body is a body of, the Christian church is a body of lay believers. Everyone are in harmony with fellow man while attending God's house. We should be most interested in presenting ourselves acceptable and fit for worshipful service wrought through our conduct, that is, the expressions which predominate our manners, behaviors, sensitive faces, and the type of apparel which we are adorning ourselves in God's house. 1 Timothy 3:15 and Hebrews 3:17. The first essential to be considered while attending church service is obedience. One should always follow, number one, instructive alertion when enter and where to sit. When we're in church, we have a lot of rules. But we also have etiquette. When you're in the Wilmington Palace, there are rules that you follow as a commoner when you want to visit Queen Elizabeth's, you know, kingdom, sort of. We have certain things that we follow by guidelines. You have guards. You have security that protect you from not overstepping your boundaries when it comes to certain things. But in the church world, for the basic structure of church, we've lost the lack of understanding etiquette in the church. One of the things that I know that they've increased now and upscaled in ministry, we used to have ushers, now you have greeters, and then you have ushers. The greeters are the ones who greet you at the door and say, welcome to whatever your name of your ministry is that you are a member of. And they greet you at the door, and then when you cross them, from that point, guess who you walk into? The arms of the usher, which guides you to a seat to be able to be comfortable. Some churches have their own rules about children even being in the church because a lot of them don't want children in the front of the church. They will sit you in the back of the church. I've seen that because one of my old high school friends, I went with her to visit her church. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, iffy about going to everybody else's church. And I was just so stuck on my church that going to somebody else's church was almost like cheating on my church. It was like cheating on my church. I felt like I was cheating. But by the same token, we couldn't bring her baby to the front. I said, why? She said, they don't allow the children in the front. We have to sit in the back for those who have babies because they felt that the babies made noise and people could not hear while the preacher was going forth in the word because of the baby crying or yelling or hollering or whatever. Well, that's when you have parents that discipline their kids right there in the seat. They disciplined us. Literally, they disciplined us because they told us to sit out. We sat our little ass down. Wasn't no huffing, puffing, wasn't no talking. We didn't do that. A lot of times I've seen in churches how come a battlefront. Lord, help us, Jesus. Jesus, give me strength. Oh, I remember at one of my churches I was at my church that I came from when I came back to the church, there was always a battle about the kitchen. I never seen women act so out of their mind about the kitchen. Ladies, women in the church, let me talk to you for a minute. Can I be real with you? Let me explain something to you. Everybody cooks, okay? There's no greater cook in the church. Let's all understand that. Many women, different ways. Many use different seasonings. Many have their own different styles. In the African-American churches, I am constantly seeing the competition about cooking. Ladies, stop. Literally stop. Because you make a mockery of yourself, ignorance of yourself, to be able to criticize somebody else's cooking. I don't see the Food Network having you on any magazine. I don't see them calling to ask for expertise. I don't see you with no books out there. When you all cannot get along in the kitchen, that means there's too many kids in there. At our church, Redeemed Fellowship, I have one older mother that know how to put your head out of that kitchen because she's not about no foolishness. I'm one that I would try to help you to understand how to versatilely work in the kitchen. But this is where black women have a problem of being, you know, taught, I don't want you teaching me nothing because you don't know. No, that's a negative attitude to have. If you have a program going on in the kitchen and you need cooks, then what you should designate a person to be over the kitchen, first of all. Pastor, find the greatest, or have your wife find the one that they can get your wife to work with in the kitchen. Because in the kitchen, there's always a battle. It's always a war. It is always a final frontier of foolishness based upon what? I don't understand it. So designate your wife to choose who should work in the kitchen. Once you come across that and it's a clear understanding, then now you're able to do what? To work together. Now, when we become ugly with each other, that means God ain't in it. That means there's some other issues going on, underlying issues that is going on that nobody is really making sense or understanding. Now, when you're bringing food to church, I remember somebody asked me to do a birthday dinner for their mother, and they said that other members of the church were going to bring something. Yes, let me tell you what the other folk brought. They brought me half-cooked macaroni. They brought me uncooked greens and unbaked chicken. So I had to cook and fry and bake everybody's stuff. I had to come behind the church folks because the church folks didn't come there with it cooked. They came with it half cooked, really. So now when you do that, you put the pressure on the people. We had an event this weekend, and the pastor and I, we came to an agreement because I'm the church administrator. So to keep from arguing with people about this, that, and the other, I went on and I selected a venue to serve my food for me. Now, I make up a little bit on the side, which wasn't a whole lot. And that's what I did. That calmed all of who's going to make fried chicken. Well, what are you using your chicken with? I don't know what you're using. Well, I don't have time for that because I don't do women well. So my thing is when we have these programs going on, we have a lot of people that don't know how to work effectively together in the kitchen. When you have this going on, what does that happen? You know, what happens? You have confusion. You can't get along together. You're arguing, fussing, and fighting with each other. And then everybody got an attitude. In the kitchen, you have one person that's over the kitchen, and then they will line up all the, and then those that are working in the kitchen can take the food out to the table at the appropriate time. No picking through the food, no trying to eye-spy, not trying to get you some on the side and put on the side, and then you wonder what happened to your chicken. Well, you had no business, number one, you contaminated the food. Now, everybody got to sit behind your contamination. Be respectable enough to ask the person, whether it be the pastor and his wife or the church administrator, is it okay if I get a piece of chicken? It's so simple to do. But when we do the opposite because we feel we want to, that's where confusion starts. If you ask to come to help, it does not give you the right. You ought to have this, that, and the other. Well, did I ask you your opinion about what we should have? You have to watch your tongue sometimes. It gets in a lot of trouble. So now when you do that, you're starting confusion. Because sometimes the Bible says all things are lawful but not expedient. So understand, if you're called in to help, just do that. Stop huffing and puffing and complaining. Because your money not in it. You didn't put in on it like Friday, the movie, Smokey told Craig, you didn't put in on this. If you didn't put in on it, don't ask no questions. Just learn to be a willing worker and not a complainer or a taker. We'll talk about that. Now, when you serve the people, it behooves you for that all of the guests be served. Server. Then appropriately ask, may I have a plate? It's so simple. You don't go in there and just take what you want and sitting there eyeing what you want to take because you already got your eyes. But remember, you were the one that was complaining in the beginning. See what I mean? See, these are things that pastors' wives have to deal with, and folks try to control everything. No, you can't control everything. You didn't go to the store. You didn't call in and make the money. You always complain. If you are unhappy with what other people do, you don't have to go. You literally don't. You don't have to go. Why you don't have to go? Because you don't have to accept to be somewhere. Ask the person or allow them to say, you can get a plate, not what everybody else got. Now, we had a lot of chicken left over because we bought it. My husband, we bought it, but I shared with another church because I wanted to share. That's me. I'm a sharing person. I'm not a taker because I know how to give, and I know how to give, and I'm being content. So I don't worry about, I want to do this thing, so I give me some food. No, you can stay home and order McDonald's if you want to. I mean, literally, because from that point on, you won't nobody want you to come to their church. Women, when you go in the bathroom, let me help y'all out. Lord Jesus. Women, I know we have bodies. We have a lot of things going on. You have women that have illnesses. A lot of them are challenged with a lot of health things going on. When you go to the bathroom, notice that all churches don't have the Walmart toilet, okay? When you go in, it is wise for you to use toilet paper properly where you don't flood the toilet or cause a plumbing issue. A lot of people, I noticed that even when I go into the store, the women's bathroom is always the bathroom that is clogged up. Women, if you don't know how to use a toilet plunger, it would behoove you to have a deacon or the church or a brethren to show you how to use a plunger for the toilet. Okay? It's really simple. There's a difference. There's a toilet plunger and there's a sink plunger. A sink plunger is different. It's smaller, round, okay? It looks like a wider bowl, and you just cook and sink. The toilet plunger is different. It has a longer nozzle, okay? Longer nozzle, actually, when you put it into where the water comes to flush out and you push it in there because it's a little longer than the regular sink plunger, you take that and you jerk it real hard, and that will unclog your toilet. I have a cousin that's a businessman. He owns his own plumbing, heating, riding, air conditioning business. My daddy and my uncle taught me how to use a toilet plunger. So I know how to use a sink plunger. I know how to use a toilet plunger. I know the difference between a flathead screwdriver. I know the difference between that and a Phillips screwdriver. I know what pliers look like. I know what a hammer looks like. I know what a saw looks like. I know what a drill looks like. I know how to drill. I know how to nail. Women, learn how to use tools, okay? Because what happens is that when something goes wrong and a man may not be available, at least if you try to unstop a clause with toilet paper, you would know how to plunge it out. I'm talking basic church etiquette now. I mean, we're starting at the basics before we get to the sanctuary. Let's do the basics first, okay? When you are hosting an event, it is not your job to be the queen of the day or the king of the day. You are the host. When you host an event, you've got to be on point in case things go wrong, that you need to be reachable. You got to learn how to do things. If you don't know, I'm for sure that a lot of women that got an apartment or, you know, or you can't change the light bulb, something wrong. So my whole thing is learn the basics of where you live, and it will be easy for you to work at the church. Amen? Now, when it comes to the toilet paper, a lot of women, they use the old method of hiking up the toilet and they just bend over without sitting on it. And I understand that. And I've already put in my head to get the toilet cover seat anyway, and to put on the covers, because I keep the church bathroom clean. I get in there and I clean the toilet. I got blue water. Yes, I do. I use Tidy Bowl blue water. And I use disinfectant. I use all kind of disinfectant stuff because I know people are on medication. And a lot of times the medication comes through their urine. It comes through their hair. It comes all over the place. I like to go to church and see a clean toilet. We got a comment that our bathroom was clean. But women, be careful how you use toilet paper. And then when you flush the toilet, flush it, hold it down. Wait till the water go down. That way it can start pumping back up the water in the tank. It's so simple. But I've noticed that even in the women's restroom, women, I have known you all to you and in our church, I got the sign to tell you, no tampons, no panty liners, no Kotex, no diapers, go in the toilet. We talk about basic church etiquette now. We ain't talking about the preaching and the teaching yet. That's gonna be another series in a day or two. To learn how to do the basics, you know, and you gotta learn. Women, a lot of churches I've gone to, guess whose bathroom was taught the worst? Women. All the men got to do is drop it down and stick it out and then over with. We got too many complications going on. So we need to understand how to appropriately use the restroom. It helps you out a whole lot. It helps you out a whole lot. And always ask about, may I have some? Don't be sitting back idle of other folks got. You know, I had a lot of chicken, but I had other things to do with it. That's why I ordered. But I didn't need to confirm it with nobody else. I didn't think I did. So my whole thing is, when it comes down to learning how to be basic in the kitchen, you need to be basically trained. And then when people buy things, because I was telling someone earlier today, I said between last month and this month, my husband and I, out of pocket, including some of the church money, went into preparing for these events. I instead of me buying, paper plates, you know, and cheesy styrofoam, I literally went and bought premium party plates, plastic plates from Party City. Those plastic plates, I never seen people take this in the church. I just never seen people so needy that I just want to take the church. But you don't work hard to get it. So my whole thing is learn how to be a giver. And if the pastor has not eaten, don't go try to get other stuff when the pastor has not had his food. That is so selfish. It's so selfish. Okay, let me move on. Okay, now. speaking. What's the problem with speaking to each other? We go to church, we get up and test the lie, whatever, and we don't speak to each other. No one should have to tell you how to speak. It's only polite. If your mama did not teach you how to speak, then you need to let somebody tell you how important it is to respect one another and learn how to speak. You shouldn't have to look at somebody and they act like you ain't there, like you don't, you totally, like, oh, I don't even know who you are. Well, you know what? I can escort you right out that door and take a picture of you, put it on the side, and say, do not let this person in because they don't know how to speak. Because if you're not speaking to me, you bringing your demonic problems to the church. Instead of coming in the door, going to the altar, and laying your problems at the altar, you wearing it on your shoulders, and you got an attitude, and you got an attitude with the wrong people. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord. We do this. You wonder why folks be talking about us. That's why the world will be following us. We do just as worse as the world. But we tell them what the world is doing. Leave the world alone. They ain't they right to do what they're doing. At least they're honest about it. Okay, all right. So now here we go. Never be so selfish, spreading bad and other possessions in a space beside them and don't want to move them. I remember watching this in a convocation in Memphis. Everybody would go outside and go shopping, and they go back and they bring back clothes, brand new hat boxes, 5 or 6 hat boxes, 4 or 5 pair of shoes, and they sit them right on the seat. Can't nobody else get there because all of their hats and shoes and suits and coats and purses and jewelry and whatever they're going to take back home, all in the same seat next to you. And if somebody needs to stand there, but they can't stand because your bags are taking over the seat. I didn't know the bags had feelings. Remove your items and put them floor under the seat where your feet stretches out, ladies. Don't put an object, a bag, on the same row where people got to come and sit. Oh, Jesus, this is where you have no space because the bags have a seat. The bags shouldn't have a seat. Put your bags on the floor. If you don't want to go back to the hotel room right now and you're able to keep them with all your stuff and carry your stuff around, guess what? All you did was come to shop. You didn't come to go to church. All right, now. You should sit quietly and stay by all means attentively. That means pay attention to what the pastor is saying. Because you can miss a whole lot. A lot of times people's mind is all wandering all over the place, and their mind is over here and here with this and down yonder, that you can't even hear what the pastor's saying because you're not attentive. You're on the cell phone texting. That's another thing. Texting and being rude, talking and chit-chatting with your friends, that's disrespectful. I'm going to come back to part 2 of Basic Church Etiquette next week. I have some more to deal with that. Doing service or special services due to overwhelming of guest members. Don't make an ugly face doing service. Listen, I'm going to be back with you next week for part 2. And until then, you be blessed.
just keep me